This episode of the Nerd Up Podcast made possible in part by Eagle Theater. Visit them online at eagletheater.net. And by Classic Hits WTYE. Listen online at WTYEFM.com and made possible by crowd supporters just like you.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Gil T. Wilson.
Nerd up.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up. I'm Gil T. Wilson along with
Tony Collins.
And we're here to bring you pleasure and joy in all things nerdy.
All things nerdy, sure. Pleasure sounded oddly dirty. So
how about if I
hope it sounded dirtier than...
Well, you know, actually, I was thinking about adding the word adult. In.
If you add the word adult to anything, and it immediately becomes dirty for me because I'm a juvenile 13-year-old in my head.
So do you have any adult coloring books?
You know what? I was really disappointed the first time I bought an adult coloring book and there was no nudity in it. What in the hell are all these geometric shapes?
And I invested in all these pink and brown colors.
Well, and I thought it was going to be an adult coloring book.
Well, no, I guess not. So... All right, welcome to the adult podcast. Well, you know.
No, that's not it either.
No, that doesn't work.
Neither of us have been accused of being adults, that's for sure.
Amen to that. So, yeah, well, we're going to talk about some things. Let's see, we're going to talk about Furious or F9.
Yeah, Fast 9 or F9.
F9. Like it is. What kind of tumor is it? It's a F9 tumor.
It's a F9 tumor. That it is.
And so we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk. We're probably actually Tony's gonna talk about Loki because I haven't been able to catch the latest
episode.
Yeah,
you failed on getting your homework done. I felt like a teacher when you got here, and I'm like, dude, did you watch Loki? No, Mr. Wilson, am I gonna have to talk to your parents?
Well, the thing is, I was gonna say my dog ate my homework, but actually the whole wouldn't let me watch TV. So, she wouldn't let me watch anything. Except what she wanted to watch. So.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
I tried, though, too. But speaking of which, like I said, you're going to be talking about Loki. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm not the kind of guy like, oh, spoilers, you just ruined everything for me, the world has ended. But no, because I don't mind spoilers.
Right.
In fact, if it's something like Loki, I'll watch it anyway, you know, and I'll get more out of it. And that's one of the things, I recently ran across something about how long is acceptable time to wait for spoilers. And I kind of want to open up the podcast talking about this.
Well, you know, after you and I talked about it here, I know you shared it on the radio station Facebook mm-hmm. page, kind of put it out there to the populace. I was asking my wife about it. We were talking about it, and she didn't really have strong opinions one way or the other. And we both kind of agreed that to a degree, I think you have to be kind of responsible for that.
Yeah.
If you don't want spoilers for certain things, don't go where you know there are going to be spoilers for that thing. You know, if you don't want to know about the latest episode of Loki, you should probably not turn into something called the Nerd Up Podcast, where they'll right. most likely be talking about the latest episode of Loki. My wife is a big Survivor, Big Brother fan of both of those shows, so she has to avoid. We typically watch those a day late, so she really has to make a concerted effort to stay off social media.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that morning.
If you don't want spoilers, just get off social media. That's right. easy as that.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's all going to get spoiled.
And it's amazing how happier you'll be overall.
Yeah, right. Just quitting social media. And that's a good idea, actually. So, yeah, actually, I mean, spoilers, they used to be really easy. Remember back in the day, you and I as kids, like, let's just take grade school. Like, one of the big things with me was, you know, like $6 Million Man, the Spider-Man TV series, the Hulk series. Next day at school, immediately we would talk about, oh, did you see it last night? Wasn't that cool? And then even in my college years, Twin Peaks was on. And every day, the next day at work, we were all talking about it. You know, that wasn't a big deal.
I swear to God, the idea of spoilers is a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it's not, but this like cultural phenomenon of spoilers
right.
seems to be a bit of a new thing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, talking about spoilers when I learned, you know, when we all learned that Darth Vader was Luke's father.
Yes.
Nobody went, well, that's it. I can't go see that movie now.
Right, yeah.
No, you're like, holy crap, now I have to see that.
Exactly. You same know. With Bruce Willis and, he was dead the whole movie.
Yeah, in The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm going to go watch it again now.
Yeah, actually, and that's one of the things we talked about the other day is that I actually enjoyed the second viewing of that movie more because I had the spoiler.
Right.
You know, the first time I watched it, my wife and I went and saw it in theaters, creeped me the hell out. and one of the reasons it creeped me the hell out is because our daughter wasn't very old. Mm-hmm. And she was at the age where she was still, she would wake up in the middle of the night with like night terrors, just wake up crying in the middle of the night. And after seeing that movie, the thought that, oh my God, she sees dead people started bouncing around in my head.
And then you thought you were dead the whole time?
Holy, once that occurred to me, I could not get that out of my head. But yeah, I mean, one of the things we talked about is we watched the movie in the theater and I enjoyed it at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I, you know, now you have that in mind. You watch it a second time and you go, oh.
Right, right.
And so I was able to enjoy it at another level with the spoilers in mind.
I think that's kind of the case with any M. Night Shyamalan movie, is there's going to be a spoiler if you're going to talk about it because he's got the twist.
Yeah, well, and that's, honest to God, The Sixth Sense is about the only M. Night Shyamalan movie that I've watched and truly, truly enjoyed. I don't know what it was. My wife and I, after seeing The Sixth Sense, I think his next movie was a movie called The Village.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
And Lisa and I were very excited because we loved The Sixth Sense. Oh, man, it's another one by M. Night Shyamalan. I can't wait. I don't know if we were both just in the wrong mood to watch it, but we were like 2 minutes into it. And I guess because we knew it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie and the twists were kind of his thing, I made a smart ass remark to her halfway through, not even halfway through, 30 minutes into the movie. I said, watch, this movie's actually set in modern time and they're living in the middle of like Central Park or something.
Right, yeah. And guess what? Oh, hey, it was a... And then, like, Signs, that's another M. Night Shyamalan, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that one had some creepy moments. That's one of his better. I like that one out of all of his movies, I think, the best. But the thing is, the spoiler, oh, yeah, by the way, spoilers.
yeah, while we're talking about spoilers.
Spoilers, yeah. The aliens are allergic to water. And so I'm like, okay, that was an interesting twist, but I got to thinking, I was like, they can see that from space. Why did they come?
Some dumb. Yes, aliens,
right? We're allergic to the stuff that this planet's made of.
Yeah, we're allergic to water. Let's go attack a planet that's mostly water and attack people that are mostly water.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know,
and then
I'd be like me deciding I was going to go conquer a fire planet. I sense no danger here.
I got boots. I can land on that, baby. I don't know. It's like, and M. Night Shyamalan, oh, Avengers. There's another one. The company actually put out, don't spoil this movie.
Right.
And they, I know they meant for social media. In fact, but it seemed like it went on for weeks where we couldn't say anything. And I'm like, no, that's not right. And so the thing I found out, I mean, basically, it's a minefield right now.
Right.
People get real mad at you, or they don't. Nobody watches anything at the same time anymore. They binge on their own.
And that's the thing. I think when we were growing up, we had like three channels.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah.
When I was growing up, I had three channels. Yep. I had like here in where I grew up, it was 2, 10, and 38.
Okay.
It was an ABC, an NBC, and CBS. Those were three big networks.
And you forgot about PBS.
Yeah, well, PBS came in every once in a while on a clear day. That was the fourth channel that if we were real lucky and you hit the rabbit ears just right, you could get PBS. Uh-huh. So.
And everybody had the same thing, and everybody kind of watched, among your friends, you watched the same thing.
Well, and even the networks branded those nights, you know. Everybody had their version of must-watch TV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was the block of sitcoms or dramas or whatever. But yeah, you know, we were all at the time going, hey, did you see the latest episode of Friends or Alf or Seinfeld or whatever the must-see TV of the moment was?
Right.
Because we were all watching basically the same thing because you all only had three channels.
Exactly. So. And now, and not only that, but now we have bazillion channels.
My God.
And on top of that, we've got social media where people will watch it. And I think people do this on purpose. They'll watch it and the second, like they'll watch it as soon as it drops, like on a streaming, like let's say Loki midnight on Disney Channel or Disney Plus. And they'll watch it, and then like midnight 30, they're posting on social media, oh my gosh, I can't believe the world just got destroyed. You know, things like
that.
I'm like,
well, that's one of the things, you know, spoilers have almost become an industry unto themselves because you have a lot of people that's what they do for a living. They'll watch the hot new thing and then go to YouTube and post a video and break it down. Here are all of the things you missed.
Yeah.
Here are the Easter eggs that you missed in the latest episode of whatever it was.
And I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And I don't really mind it. I really don't. But when it's like, I mean, come on, at least give me a chance to watch. At least give me at least 24 hours. Well, actually, I think
24 hours. I think a day is fair.
For a TV series or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, so when it comes to movies or something, when is it okay? Well, the British newspaper, The Guardian, they claim that the answer is after between 3 to 5 days for a movie is what we're talking about in general here, I think.
Right.
And I think that's fair for a movie because, you know, you want to give people that weekend to go see the movie.
Right.
And
yeah, because not all of us can get away to the theater to see a movie on opening night
right.
or opening weekend.
Although I love to do that.
Yeah. Actually, I don't. I love to go to the movies on a Sunday afternoon. I love going to Eagle Theater to catch the Sunday matinee, the like 1 o'clock show where it's me and two other people.
Yeah. Or better yet, like a Monday or Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, there are far fewer people who judge me when I laugh out loud at the stupid shit I shouldn't be laughing out loud to.
Right, right.
And oh, did I laugh out loud when I went and saw Fanine.
Fanine. Well, we're going to talk about that one because I'm anxious. I'm kind of curious about this. But we'll see. And Vulture.com, they made an article about spoilers as well. And they seem to agree 3 days or longer is an appropriate length. So far, 3 days seems like for a movie. And I mean, just basically, instead of just, you know, walking out, as soon as you walk out of the studio and start publicly shouting, like, I swear to God, this happened. It was one of the Avengers movies. I think it was Endgame. It might have been Endgame. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Endgame. That I walked in, I was in line getting ready to go in. People were coming out from the movie. And one guy was sitting there talking about the whole movie as he's walking by me. I'm like, shut up. I am getting ready to go. And I'm like, oh, wait, I got that to look. Oh, that'll be cool.
Right.
So,
well, I'm consciously aware of it. So when my son and I go see, he's my movie seeing buddy because we're into the same, you know, comic book action flicks. And so we've had that conversation on our way out of the auditorium before we get into the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're both really excited about this. Yes, we want to talk about it, but until we get outside, we get in the car, then we can just talk about it, you know.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? That's kind of an unspoken rule too. Yeah.
Right.
A lot of people, but this jerk was, but then again, he gave me something to look forward to.
Right.
But most of the time, Isaac and I, we watch a movie, get out in the car and that's like, oh, what'd you think of that? And you know, so we'd spoil it between ourselves, but we wasn't spoiled since we watched it. So that wasn't spoilers.
Right.
So anyway, in other words, if you're listening to the Nerd Up podcast, expect spoilers.
I think that's a fair assessment. If you're listening to something called the Nerd Up podcast, and we have a history of talking about these kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to know about the latest episode of Loki, or if you haven't made it to the theater to see Fanine yet, then, you know, pace yourself, take a little power back and, you know, maybe pause the podcast at this point. And come back to it later.
Yeah. Or no, just listen anyway, because they're really good spoilers.
They really are. They really are.
So, okay. So, again, when you're listening, expect spoilers. Normally, we'd kind of warn people. I'm like, I'm tired of warning at every single thing because I don't know when's appropriate time. So,
well,
it's gonna happen.
And that's the thing. There are classic movies that I have confessed to you I have never watched.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen The Shining in its entirety. I know enough to know The Shining, and I have seen bits and pieces of it, but I have never seen The Shining. I have probably never seen all of The Godfather. And I know that's a franchise that you recently went back and rewatched all of.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some classic. So I could, in theory, go, dude, spoilers for The Godfather. But you know, I think after a couple of decades have passed.
Yeah, I was going to say about 3 or 4 decades have gone by on
if
that one.
If at this point you don't know that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father, that's on you, man.
And Luke kissed his sister.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it got weird. There were some odd choices. Well, yeah, just some odd choices. I said odd choices, and immediately I thought of Wonder Woman 1984.
I haven't seen that yet, so.
There were some odd choices.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to see it, and I don't care about spoilers, because how long has that been out now?
Yeah.
About a year?
Yeah, it seems like
more,
it.
Or, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm the type of person, I don't mind spoilers. I'm going to see it anyway. Sometimes you can spoil something too much, I guess, but I haven't been spoiled too much yet.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to say 90% of the stuff that I watch on a regular basis, whether it's TV or movies, spoilers aren't going to make or break it. Like,
yeah,
even
right,
if
right.
you had told me at the end of Avengers, mm-hmm. Tony was going to die,
mm-hmm.
Tony Stark is going to die, I'd have been like, well, that seems about right.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have ruined the movie for me. So, you know, I guess I don't watch enough highbrow intellectual stuff that, you know, honest to God, a lot of the movies I go to watch are like F9.
Uh-huh. Right,
you know, because
right.
when I go to the movie theater, I like to go for the escapism. I like to go to turn my brain off for a couple of hours, eat some popcorn, drink some soda. So, you know, and let's face it, a movie like F9 would be really friggin' hard to spoil at this point. Okay.
Do cars blow up?
Yeah. They drive really fast.
Okay. Aww,
they completely man. Defy the law of gravity and physics.
You've ruined it for me so far.
Just doesn't make any sense, you know.
What?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
John Cena plays Dom's brother.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hold on. Before you get in, I want to hear about F9, but before that, I got one big spoiler I'm going to drop on everybody. In Herman Melville's Moby Dick, Ishmael's the only survivor. Okay, sorry.
And there you go. Spoiled.
All right, let's talk about F9. I mean, this sounds like a fun movie, popcorn munching, but...
I am part of the problem.
Right.
You know, the old expression goes, if you keep going to see these things, they'll keep making them.
Oh, that problem.
Yeah, and I'm part of that problem because I will keep going to see them. Again, I think if you go to see a movie like F9 at this point, it's no surprise what the Fast and Furious franchise is about.
Right.
And it hasn't been about street racing since conservatively like the third installment.
Was that Tokyo Drift one?
Yeah, Drift was the third one. Tokyo Drift was the third one to be released, but canonically, it's one of those that theoretically falls into like the sixth or seventh slot. The events of it are supposed to, but anyway.
Oh, man. You mean they actually have a timeline of these movies?
They really do.
Oh,
well,
wow.
And that's, you know, part of the issue is Vin Diesel did the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Then Vin was not in the second one and refused to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came to terms on a contract with Universal or whatever that basically gave Vin Diesel kind of producer power.
Yeah.
So he did a cameo appearance at the end of 3.
Yeah, I remember that.
At the end of Tokyo Drift. And then from there, it's been kind of his baby. And
okay.
they've just become increasingly more outlandish and ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And superhero-esque throughout the run of the movies, and F9 does not disappoint.
Oh,
I will say Pontiac Fiero in outer space.
You said that to me the other day, and I'm like, to this day, I'm like, what are you talking about?
And, you know, in any realm of possibility, it is the dumbest thing. But for some reason, in the world of F9, in the world of the Fast and Furious, you go, no, that tracks. That tracks. The fact that they could drive a Pontiac Fiero in outer space wearing salvaged scuba gear for some reason within the Fast and Furious universe makes some sense.
Sure it does.
And I did enjoy the fact that I think the franchise is a little more aware of what it is
right.
than maybe it used to be, because there are a couple of times where a Ludacris's character will reference, no, it's all right here. It's all in the numbers. It's all about math. As long as you obey the laws of physics, everything is going to work out. As a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek, at one point, one of the characters talks about, you know, you look back at some of the crazy stuff we've done. Maybe we're not normal people. Maybe we're, you know, invincible. And so that becomes kind of a running gag.
Wait, hold on. The title card, Invincible.
Yeah.
The blood splatter now.
Yeah. Fast and Furious, Invincible. I could pick it apart for some of the storytelling elements. I mean, at this point, they've become incredibly formulaic.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be about family. You know it's going to be about crazy stunts and that kind of thing, and that's what it was. So,
well, you know, that I mean, really, what else do you expect? Right. When you go to see a movie like that, I mean, same thing goes with like what is the one with Arnold and Invincible?
Expendables?
Expendables, that's it.
I'll tell you what, I friggin' love the Expendables movies because they know exactly what the hell they are. They know their audience. And I go to see those movies because I want to see the action heroes of my youth just blow shit up.
Exactly. And that's exactly
what I want to see furious. Them. I want to see them kill things. And, you know, despite the sheer volume of bullets coming back at them, they never get hit.
I know, right?
You know,
they're good. They're really
quick movies. Be a little more attention to the idea of how guns and stuff actually work.
Yeah.
That's something I appreciate about the John Wick movies. But, man, when Sylvester Stallone, it was like wrapping up in a warm childhood blanket, you know. You've got Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger doing each other's catchphrases.
Yeah.
You've got Chuck Norris doing a Chuck Norris joke.
Yes.
I'm like, fuck, that's it. I'm in. You know what?
And then you keep adding these other Dolph Lundgren, all these other guys, all these great action heroes. Wasn't Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Jean-Claude played the big bad in Expendables 2.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, and they know who they need to get to bring people back into the theater to watch something just blow up all over the place.
Yeah. They got Mel Gibson to be the big bad in the third Expendables movie.
Yeah. And then Rambo, take that for example, too, the last one. I mean, we were laughing. We were having a good time. And it's like, oh, wait, this guy got disemboweled. Yeah. That's still funny.
Yeah, that was one of them. I started to question my sanity a little bit as I'm watching in theater, laughing out loud hard at some guy getting disemboweled. I mean, you shouldn't find it funny, but that's part of it. It's like it's like Fast 9. It's the Expendables. It's the Rambo flicks. You go to watch the spectacle.
Yeah.
If I wanted to watch something that was high cinema, I could seek that out. But if I want to just go watch stuff, loud explosions and things blow up, and the kind of movie that I just, you know, there is something I think comforting and reassuring. We all love the like twist endings we were talking about earlier.
So.
You know, going to see or seeing Rocky, the first Rocky movie,
mm-hmm.
and Rocky lost.
Yeah.
You think, holy crap.
Yeah.
That's not what I expected.
Right.
Those are incredible. But there is something very comforting. You go into a movie and you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to watch Vin Diesel, you know, growl talk his way through the entire movie. I'm going to watch fast cars, a lot of bullets, ridiculous over-the-top stunts, and it's going to be spectacular.
And a lot of walking away from explosions.
Yeah, a lot of never looking back either.
Yeah, exactly. So, any Oscar nominee nods for F9?
No. I was going to try to.
Okay.
No, and part of the problem that I found, and I actually had this thought while I was sitting in the theater, there is a scene where they kind of want you to believe that Dom, mm-hmm. Vin Diesel's character, is going to die.
Okay.
And they really want you invested in that. The problem is, I know that there is a Fast 10 and a Fast 11 already in production.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going,
he's can't.
So there's no emotional stake.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, it's a Fast and Furious movie. If you want emotional stake, look for something else.
Well, maybe he'll come back as a Force ghost.
Yeah, it could be. Seriously, hand to God, one of the rumors I've heard is that they want to do a Fast and Furious crossover with the Jurassic Park franchise.
I think it'd be fun.
So I just picture Vin Diesel in his souped up Dodge Charger or whatever it is, driving away from a T-Rex, being chased by velociraptors or something.
Right. Well, you know, the whole thing, and that goes back to like the Alien versus Predator. There was no reason for those two to get together other than just, oh, this is going to be cool. You know,
once Alien versus Predator got together and they explained how the two cross over, you go, dude, mm-hmm. that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Whether it makes any sense or not.
The way they explain it.
They sell it to you. You're like, oh, got it. So the Predators have been hunting xenomorphs forever. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
And that's the way you do it. That's the way you keep a franchise running. And the only reason to keep a franchise running anyway, or to make a franchise period, is so that you can keep selling tickets for future movies.
Yeah, just
you know?
Keep cranking that crap out.
Yeah.
Well, it's when they did Freddy versus Jason.
Yes.
I was thrilled.
Oh, man.
I went into that going, well, how the hell are they going to pull these two together? And, you know, you follow the logic of the movie and you go, neat. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And was that the one in space? No, Jason X was in space.
Jason X was. Yeah. And again, I've watched all of those. I've watched all of the Friday the 13th. I've watched all of the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah.
And I really enjoy those. And again, if you go into it expecting a deep story and high cinema, you're probably not going to.
I think
the closest one of the Nightmare on Elm Streets that I think really kind of fits into that wheelhouse is Wes Craven's A New Nightmare.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And they play with the idea that, because the movie actually stars Robert Englund as Robert Englund,
yes,
but also as Freddy,
yeah,
and it actually has. So it's set in the real world,
yeah,
where this demon has chosen the mythology of Freddy Krueger to manifest,
yep,
itself, which I thought was an interesting, clever way to, mm-hmm, tell that same story.
Yeah.
So
my favorite one, Nightmare on Elm Street, of any of them, is the first one. The rest of them after that, I mean, I still watch them. I still go to a movie. If they were to announce Nightmare on Elm Street 25 coming out in the film or in the theaters this weekend, I'd go.
Right.
But the first one is the one because that was such a new novel concept.
Right. It was such a neat idea.
And
that's the remake that was released. I can't even tell you what year it was released, but it starred the guy who was Rorschach from The Watchmen.
He was also Kelly Leake in the Bad News Bears movie. Jackie Earle Haley. There we go.
he starred as Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't really care for that one because I thought, and here's the thing. I know Freddy Krueger's character has always been a bad dude.
Right.
Who is into hurting children, which is never a cool thing.
Right, right.
But in the first movie, they didn't necessarily lean hard into that, even though that was kind of what the whole damn movie was about.
Yeah.
But I thought in the remake, they tried to go a little too serious.
Okay.
And it just didn't land for me because Friday the 13th, or Nightmare on Elm Street, rather, has never been serious.
No.
You know, you can't have your main character walking around going, you know, I'm going to get you, bitch.
Yeah.
And have it be real serious.
Yeah. Someone's going to giggle a lot.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then Rick and Morty parried it to make it even better.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
When they did the Scary Terry.
Yeah. Scary Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When we can parody it, not only popular, but it's a franchise that's worth keeping around. You know,
it's like,
if you can parody it, it's you got an audience,
yeah,
and people are getting that in a major major TV series. I guess is Rick and Morty a major TV series?
I'm gonna call Rick and Morty a major TV series.
I would
series.
Too because I watch every episode. So okay, so but yeah,
I will say the one thing that didn't come to fruition that I really hoped in the Freddy versus Jason movie,
yeah,
is there was a point at the end where there was a real push to try to get Pinhead from the Hellraiser franchise to show up and like 86 both of them, but they couldn't necessarily get Clive Barker to sign off on letting it happen. And I thought, dude, that would have been awesome.
Clive Barker, what's wrong with you? I love your stuff.
Yeah. And how badass would it have been to see Hellraiser and a couple of his little minions. I can't think of what they're called.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know either.
Yeah. But to see a couple of them come back and just drag Jason and Freddy back to hell or whatever.
I want to call them Deadites, but I know that's Evil Dead, so
yeah.
I can't think. Gosh.
But it's something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, you know what? And here's the thing. All these crossovers like we're talking about here, this is not an unusual thing. Look at the original Universal Monsters.
Right.
You know, Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. They did it before, and they knew their audience. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, that's Hollywood isn't reinventing the wheel with this shit.
No.
We think they are because I honestly blame a big chunk of it at Marvel.
Yeah.
Because Marvel did the thing that nobody should have been able to do, and they, for a decade plus, made an interconnected universe across like 25 movies.
Yeah.
And it never should have worked, and it never should have paid off. But they managed to do it. I don't know.
But they had the background source material already
right.
in place.
They had the background source material, but still, the execution, you got to take your hat off to Kevin Feige and the group at Disney, Marvel, And they're still doing it.
Making it work in the movie.
You know, with WandaVision, with Falcon and Winter Soldier, and with Loki, it is amazing that they're still playing with these toys and figuring out a way to make them work.
Yeah, because eventually we're going to have the X-Men and Fantastic Four in that same world. Yeah. How they get those guys in there will be interesting. But still, F9 and or just Furious Park. No, Jurassic Fast. No, Fast Jurassic. There we go.
And I saw somebody say that they thought a crossover between Fast and Furious and Jurassic Park was thinking too small. They needed to do kind of a three-way crossover and have the cars that Vin Diesel and his crew drive be Autobots from the Transformers universe.
My God.
And then you could have the Jurassic Park dinosaurs also fighting the Dinobots from the Transformers universe. And there was a part of me that got genuinely excited about that idea. Oh my God, that would be so, it would be so stupid. And yet I would enjoy every minute of it.
It's like every little bit of our childhood plus a little bit of adulthood thrown in. I'm ready. Let's do it.
You know,
let's
an ice cream film. Sundae is good. You throw some sprinkles on there, it's even better.
Right. And then you dash on some chocolate syrup, maybe some caramel, and just keep throwing stuff on.
Yeah.
You know. You know, we know some filmmakers.
We do.
We should get with these guys. Let's see, Jed Bryan. We know the guys at Moonlight Films. Actually, I don't really know him personally, but P.J. Starks with, was it Blood Moon Films? The ones that released 13 Slaves Till Christmas. These three guys together, I mean, they make horror films, but we can turn them around.
Well, I want to see the Kringle the Christmas Clown show up in some other franchises. Right? I think that would be epic.
Killing people with cotton candy.
Is there any way we could figure out how to get Kringle the Christmas Clown to show up and Nick's Freddy and Jason?
Oh, my gosh. That would be so good. If nothing else, if he doesn't kill him, he takes him back to the North Pole so they have to build toys.
Yes.
I can see it now.
All right. Reach it. Jed, if you're listening, start putting pen to paper. I think we've got an idea
That's
here.
That's exactly right.
I don't know. I'm sure that Freddy and Jason aren't in public domain, so there's probably some money that's going to need to be spent. So
We'll figure that out later.
Yeah, we'll leave that up to the bean counters.
Yeah,
we're the idea guys.
Although, you know, also I know some independent comic book makers that and these independent filmmakers blend their comic books, like Matt Skillern's Lawrence the Manphibian. We've got Todd Black. I know he's got a series called The Guardians. And he's also got, well, he's got several comic book series out there. He's got Tokyo Blade Detectives running now. So, ooh, that's a good crossover. And then I got Brian Morris, who this guy writes some stuff. He goes and finds, like, outdated superheroes that are public domain now. He rewrites their stories. Not rewrites, but he continues their stories.
Right.
Get him involved, too. Okay, dude, we got a plan.
All right. I'm excited.
So, and we'll maybe eventually get it into the Fast 9 or Fast and Furious franchise, so.
Well, and while we're bouncing around here in the stuff that we watched when we were a kid, have you seen or heard anything about Kevin Smith's Masters of the Universe set to drop on Netflix?
I've heard a lot about it.
I am so excited for that.
I might
really
have to get Netflix again just for that, because it's like, okay, that might be worth it. And actually, speaking of Jed Bryan and Kevin Smith, he just posted me, Kevin Smith's going to be in St. Louis here sometime soon, I forget, so within the next month or two. And he asked me, I said, no, I just had to pay $1,000 for my car. I can't go see Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
So, but he's going to be around. I might ask him, how's your Transformers?
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know. Masters of the Universe is what I meant to say. But
right.
You know what I meant.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Transformers.
I know what you meant.
See, here's the thing.
Kev just calls it MOTU.
Yeah.
Masters of the Universe. Apparently, that's how the cool kids call it MOTU.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
And then apparently, if you're the higher ups at Netflix, you call it MOTUR. Because it is Masters of the Universe Revelations.
Oh, MOTUR.
So, yeah, the high ups at Netflix just call it MOTUR. So,
okay. Well.
But, you know, I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be awesome.
Well, I think it's going to be very interesting, especially Kevin Smith. I mean, he redid the $6 Million Man in comic book form back, it's been several years or a few years now. And his rewriting of the $6 Million Man, of course, he's $6 billion now,
right?
You know, inflation. And, not only did he give him the regular bionic arm, bionic legs, bionic eye, but he also gave him this thing that can make him change his appearance. Somehow, bionically, he could change it. And so he really added on to the character. So I trust Kevin Smith.
And that's the thing. I have seen a lot of interviews with Kevin Smith where he's talking about look, this is sacred to him growing up,
right,
too. And so he is just coming in and playing with the toys that were already there.
Right.
He's not really looking to Jay and Silent Bob it up.
Right.
You know, yes, he is in charge of it, but he is staying true to the source material. So very excited for that. That's one of the things that I may actually watch on Netflix. I have Netflix. I have a habit of going to Netflix and channel surfing through and going, dude, that looks good. I should watch that. What else is on? Oh, I should watch that. Oh, never mind. What, you know.
Yep. Well, oh, that would be cool if they threw Jay and Silent Bob meet He-Man. Oh, that would be cool. I'm just saying. Oh, I don't know if it's going to happen, but we'll see. It's going to drop soon. All right, so let's talk about Loki. Again, I haven't seen it because my wife wouldn't let me. And actually, you know, I mean, there were times that I had the chance to watch it. But honestly, I was in the middle of something else, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch it after this, and then something else will come up, and never did. So, I mean, it's only been a few days, so what happened?
You know, I am excited about where it's going, though I have no idea where it's going. And so that says, I think, something about it.
Yeah.
One of the big reveals in the latest episode of Loki was that, and this is not necessarily a spoiler or shocking, but who we meet as the timekeepers, the trio of, are not real. They're like Disney-style animatronics. Now, it's pretty clear they're being...
Don't mind the man behind the curtain.
Absolutely. It was okay. So very much a Wizard of Oz kind of thing. Now, ultimately, there is obviously somebody controlling the timekeepers or puppeting, you know, the guy behind the curtain.
Right.
We don't know who that is yet.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's coming up, hopefully, in future episodes.
It'll be Kang the Conqueror. Spoilers!
Well, and that is, you know, that's where everybody seems to be laying their money, is that the ultimate big bad is going to be Kang the Conqueror,
mm-hmm,
because he has already been confirmed to be in Ant-Man Quantumania.
Yep.
He's going to be the big bad within that movie. And we're already talking about this multiverse kind of stuff. You know, obviously Loki is a variant, so what's happening in Loki appears as though it's going to transcend the MCU moving forward,
mm-hmm,
because you look at Spider-Man,
mm-hmm,
the new Spider-Man movie is going to have essentially variants of Peter Parker.
Yeah, that's
because
we're getting
you know, we're getting the Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, and Tom Holland Spider-Men in the movie. And so ultimately those will end up being probably labeled as variants. And so I have a feeling what is happening in Loki is going to go far beyond just Loki. I think it's going to set up the next part of the MCU.
Well, in the previous episode, the one I actually did watch, they kind of hinted that all the timekeepers, or not the timekeepers themselves, but all the people working in the TVA are variants.
Right, yeah. And everybody in the TVA is variants. And that's,
and they don't know it.
We got to see a little bit of the backstory of Lady Loki, for lack of a better term.
Yeah,
she
calls
herself Sylvie, I think.
Yeah.
We got to see what happened to her. And the TVA literally snatched her when she was a little kid, just boosted her from Asgard and nuked her timeline.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But at this point, we don't know exactly why.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, there were some very interesting things that came out of this episode that just basically created more questions.
Right.
So even with spoilers, I'm not necessarily going to spoil anything. There's a phenomenal post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Okay, I take that back. A couple of spoilers in 3, 2. All right, here we do. We're doing spoilers. Morbius, Owen Wilson's character.
Mobius. Yeah.
Mobius, Owen Wilson character.
Yeah.
He gets pruned. You know, they take the little rod that, and he dissolves.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So they kill, I'm using air quotes, killed him.
Okay.
Loki gets pruned.
Oh.
Our Loki gets pruned. But the post-credit scene kind of lets us in on the fact that Loki isn't, and perhaps everyone who gets pruned doesn't actually die.
Okay.
Because the post-credit scene is kind of him. He comes to, he wonders aloud if this is hell, spelled with one L, by the way.
Right, right.
Norse mythology.
Right.
And you hear a voice off camera say, No. And he said, am I going to die? He said, you hear this voice off camera go, well, you will if you don't come with us. And the camera pans, and there's like four different Loki variants.
Okay.
So those are the big spoilers.
Okay.
So you watch this episode, make sure you stick around for the post credits.
Nice. Yeah, because I always wondered that whenever, in comic books especially, when someone gets killed, they never really die.
Right.
And with those, whenever they would like prune them, that they disappeared, I was like, well, where did they go? Because right. I know they didn't just disappear. I know that because it's comic books and they can't just right. disappear. Where did they go? And so I think they're going to start showing us.
I think, and that's it. You know, even the post-credit scene, which was a bit of a spoiler, just sets up more questions because now you go, well, wait, who else is out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. We eventually see Owen Wilson on a jet ski.
Right.
Which I hope so.
Really,
I want that so bad.
Well, the one I want to see is that guy that was that, you know, when him and Loki both came in at the same time, and he went and the guy take a number. No, and he didn't. I tried to get a number from that guy, and then he's gone.
Yeah,
so that's the guy I want to see come back.
I think we've only got two more episodes of Loki. I think it's just a 6-episode run.
Oh no! See, that's what I hate. It's like so they're over.
They're going to have to do some stuff real quick, but. It won't be that long. We'll be able to go see Black Widow.
Yeah, I know.
Black Widow, I think, premieres in a week or so.
Is that right?
From when we're recording this.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Eagle Theater has it slated for a next Thursday premiere.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, yeah, today's, you know, we're recording this on the 2nd, and so a next Thursday night premiere. So we should be able to roll right out of Loki into...
I can't wait to see that.
Black Widow. I think that's going to be spectacular.
My favorite character, and I can't remember his superhero name or whatever, is the guy that was in Stranger Things. He played the sheriff in Stranger Things, and he plays this costume character, Russian character.
Yeah, like, I don't know, Crimson something or other.
I can't remember his name, but he's so funny, and I can't wait to see that in a full movie.
Yeah.
Because we saw him, like, was it a post credit scene or something like that? We saw him somewhere.
Well, and I don't know, because we've been watching trailers for Black Widow for the better part of a year and a half.
Right.
Because Black Widow was supposed to be released. Actually, Black Widow was supposed to be released and done before we started getting all of the Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
That was supposed to predate, because if I remember right, the original timeline was Black Widow, then Falcon and Winter Soldier, then WandaVision, then Loki. And because of COVID, you know, they had to push Black Widow. They had to start shifting things around.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see it. And it's one of those movies where I think, oh, no, you're right. They haven't released Black Widow yet.
Yeah.
Because I saw a trailer for it and I was hyped about it a year and a half ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know.
And I want to see how they're going to intertwine these series, these TV series, because they're going to be part of the MCU. I want to see how they mix those in, because they've dropped everything. Basically, at the end of every one of them, you're like, okay, that brought that to an end, but where does it go from here? And he's like, I want to know now.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think all of that's happening in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I think that's where things are really going to go kind of wonky and haywire.
I mean, just the name alone, Multiverse of Madness, you know they're going to have some fun in that.
Well, and I suspect that Wanda, at the end of WandaVision, will have created a Nexus-level event. You know, this is a term we have now learned from Loki that we didn't necessarily have the vocabulary for previously, but she is a Nexus. We knew she was a Nexus-level being, but now we know what that implication of that is within the MCU.
And hopefully that'll bring back Quicksilver some way, some form.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully the Evan Peters version, because I just love that guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then again, hopefully that'll, again, we don't know what. It's all pure speculation on our nerdy selves.
Oh, yeah. But that's part of the fun. It's part of the fun to look at this stuff and go, well, you know, here's what I think. And I'll admit, I have a habit of, I'll watch the episode of Loki, or I did it with WandaVision, I did it with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Hell, I've probably done it with every Marvel thing I've watched, because I know that there are people online who are much more deep diving into this stuff than I am.
Right, right.
And so I will watch the new episode of Loki, and then there's a YouTube channel, New Rock Stars, is the name of the YouTube channel. Eric Voss is the host, and I will go watch all of his. he's the guy that does the breakdown.
Oh, okay.
He does like a reaction episode, and then the next day he'll do a breakdown, and here are some of the Easter eggs, and here's what we think this means and this means.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
And that's the place where you start to see stuff I wouldn't ever have picked up on.
Right.
You know, one of the guards is, you know, A-52 or whatever. And that we think, and again, it's all speculation, we think that A-52 or whatever is a reference to Avengers number 52, the comic, which was the first appearance of Kang the Conqueror or whatever. And you go, dude, is it possible that Marvel and Disney are deep diving that far into this stuff?
If they are, they're having fun and making us have more fun.
You know,
and here's the thing, though. I can tell you that I love comic books. I always have. And I can quote some good stuff from back in the past of the comic book days, especially the Spider-Man runs and some of the things that happened, like the Jackal is the one that cloned Peter Parker and all that fun stuff that created the most horrible time in Marvel history, the clones. But, you know, and I can give you some really good deep dive stuff. But there are people out there that know way more than me. I'll first be the first to admit it. And it's like, I'll look up some of their stuff and say, all right, now what did you see?
Right.
So, now who's this guy, Eric? What?
Eric Voss.
All right, we're going to get him on the podcast.
Maybe. Eric Voss, he does new rock stars.
Okay.
He does a lot of them. And that whole channel, if you're into the nerdy stuff, new rock stars on YouTube, fantastic channel to watch. They deep dive all of this stuff, whether it's Rick and Morty, the Marvel stuff, DC, they are totally into it.
So. All right, so Eric Voss, if you're listening, we'd like to interview you and have fun with you on the podcast.
Yeah, no kidding.
That would be kind of cool. Someone with more knowledge than us.
Well, and he took a little heat after WandaVision, because we were all in the camp that Mephisto was going to show up, and he was hardcore in the camp that Mephisto was going to show up, and ultimately Mephisto never showed up. So.
Well, now, you know what? I think that's what they're teasing us with that, because they also did it in Loki.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are they teasing us with Mephisto on all these things? Is it just because, that's what the fans are expecting? We'll throw these little hints, but they're not going to really do it?
Right.
So, I don't know. I just want to see it. But here's what I want to see, though. I want to see the Spirits of Vengeance, the comic book runs. Ghost Rider, Venom was a part of that, too. Son of Satan was in there. In fact, they had Hellstrom, a series on Hulu, with featuring Son of Satan and his sister. I can't remember her name. Anyway, but those sinister characters. I think Man-Thing was also in that. But, those are the cool characters. They're very dark, but I don't think they'd fit in the MCU, what they're doing with it now, but I think they could do a side. Well,
and see, that's the thing with the multiverse of madness that they're setting up. They can go anywhere and do anything, and now, and I think it's because my personal speculation is that Marvel/Disney realize what they did with the Infinity Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Was spectacular
and
was really hard. And they need to give themselves a bit of an out. And so I think if you do a multiverse thing, that's how you bring in the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and you can go, hey, mutants have always been there. They were just this branch timeline.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go over here and play a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
The Fantastic Four, they were always there just in this branch timeline. We're going to go over here and play for a little while.
Yeah, and I so badly want to see a good Ghost Rider movie. Okay, so, you know, it was okay.
Well, okay. My opinion, the first Ghost Rider movie with Nicolas Cage was good.
It was Nicolas Cagey.
It was good, ? The second one,
it was very Ghost Nicolas Rider. Cagey.
Oh, my God. They cranked Nicolas Cage up to 11 and just set him free.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Nicolas Cage. And I love what he does, but
I love Nicolas Cage in a lot of stuff, but I've made the comment before to family and friends. It is amazing to me how Nicolas Cage is like the most bipolar actor I've ever seen, because love him. And there are some stuff that I've seen him in that I think he was genuinely a phenomenal actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen him in other stuff and I go, what the hell is this guy on?
Have you seen Willy's Wonderland yet?
No.
It's on Hulu. It's basically it's Five Nights at Freddy's, the video game.
Okay, yeah.
And it's made to a movie.
No, yeah, I saw the trailer for it.
Nicolas Cage is, I don't want to say it's his best acting, but it's the coolest acting. He doesn't say a single word the whole movie. The whole movie. It's
That's
just,
something for a Nicolas Cage
right?
flick.
But he still does his Nicolas Cage stuff.
That's so. I loved him in National Treasure. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed those movies. You know, like I said, I liked him in Ghost Rider.
The flame. I can't do that. But
yeah. But yeah, Nicolas Cage. He's one of those guys that this is just all over the place.
Yeah. Ghost Rider, I like the movies. They're okay. But if put someone else in there because, I mean, it's Nicolas Cage. You can't break away from Nicolas Cage.
Well, even in the Loki series, you talk about what the Marvel Cinematic Universe can and can't do. In the Loki series, they even reference vampires.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether that is a setup for the Blade series, the
or
Blade
Morbius, the Morbius
up,
movies coming
or,
up.
Or Morbius, or a little from column A and a little from column B,
yeah.
Because Owen Wilson's character makes comment that, you know, good grief. We brought in Kree, Titans, and vampires. Why is it the two demigods are a big pain in the ass? You know?
Right.
And it's that little just kind of throwaway line almost that us nerdy guys go, oh, he said vampires.
Yeah.
Oh, he said Titans. What other Titans have they brought in?
Yeah.
You know, because Thanos was a Titan, but he was not the only Titan.
Mm-hmm.
Or are there other branch timeline Titans? Are there other branch timeline Thanoses that have been out there snapping shit away too?
Oh my gosh. And that's the thing. And little things just like that one line can open up a whole different world that they can toy with if they want to. So, again, spoilers. Marvel's got a plan.
Well, yeah, and I think they do. And I wonder, you know, there are times where I go, yeah, you guys didn't plan that. Like the little kid in Iron Man 2.
Right.
Ain't no way they meant that to be Peter Parker. I am not going to buy that one at all.
But it was.
But I was duly impressed that at the end of Avengers Endgame, when they were doing the funeral ceremony or whatever for Tony,
mm-hmm.
they had the kid from like the third Iron Man movie. I went, you know, when we're all sitting in the theater going, wait, okay, who the hell is that kid?
Who's that? Yeah, exactly.
No. You know, so you got to give him props for that. Mm-hmm. And there is speculation that we may have already seen the realm in which Kang the Conqueror resides in.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of what Chronopolis or whatever it's called, but there is a scene in Ant-Man where when they're traveling through the quantum realm, kind of off in the distance, you can almost see what appears to be a city skyline in a kind of a dome.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And so
some
people are going, oh, I'll bet that's, and maybe that's where the TVA is located inside the quantum realm. In that little city.
No, actually what it was, that was where Metropolis, or not Metropolis, but Krypton, where Brainiac took.
No, wait, that's DC.
Well, maybe they're going to blend them.
At this point, I'm in for it.
Wouldn't that be cool?
You know.
Hey, they've had crossovers before.
I want to see Christian Bale's Batman show up in the Fast and Furious franchise. I think Christian Bale's Batman grumbling at Dominic Toretto dialogue would be just epic.
I'm Batman. I'm Groot.
Oh.
Yeah. It's all about family.
Yeah. Dude, is Vin Diesel here?
Yeah.
Or wait, was that Christian Bale doing Vin Diesel's lines?
Exactly. You never know.
Oh, my gosh. So I guess it was a pretty good week for...
Yeah. I love the Loki series. It's been a blast. Like I said, I'm looking forward to... I'm so happy that things are open back up now.
Yes.
You know. Here at the radio station, we're starting to give away concert tickets.
Yes.
It's exciting to have concerts going on. Now we're finally getting able to get back out in the theater. And, you know, like when I went to see Mortal Kombat, I went less about the movie I was going to see and more about the, hey, I can do this. Check it out. I'm walking in. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm ordering my popcorn and my soda. I'm sitting in the very comfy seats at Eagle Theater. And for 2 hours, you just get to go, that's pretty.
Exactly.
You know, and no, Mortal Kombat, not a great movie. Fast 9, not a great movie. But exactly the kind of movie I wanted to see.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, like...
Honest to God, if I'd have gone in and it had been... a deep, dark, well-acted, thick-plotted, I'd have been pissed.
Wait a minute.
You know, I did not pay money to come see this.
It's artwork on its own. It's not artwork like cinematic artwork like Oscar material or
It is not Schindler's List. It is not a Green Mile. It is not, you know, even M. Night Shyamalan with a Sixth Sense.
Yeah,
it is not that.
But it's art that we want to see,
and I would not want it to be that.
Well, it's like a hanging over my sofa. You know, I've got this piece of artwork. It's a beautiful painted piece. But over on the other side, I've got all these pieces of art that have been drawn like from Matt Skillern or from various artists, and it's like superheroes. It's like, that's art for me.
Well, and I can appreciate all of it. I can look at the Mona Lisa and appreciate the beauty and the work that it took. I can watch Schindler's List and feel all of the feels for a movie like that.
Yep.
And then sometimes I want to just go sit in the theater for a good summer flick and just have stuff blown up and drive real fast.
Yeah.
Now, my biggest issue with going to see those Fast and Furious movies, and I tend to do it with any movie I go see to a degree, is I get in my car and I have to remind myself, I have to obey the laws of physics. I have to obey the speed limit. You know, if I roll over, if I slam into other cars, I am not perhaps invincible, and I will get
hurt. And the cops will stop you if nothing else.
You know, how many of us wanted to be fighter pilots after we saw Top Gun?
Right.
How many of us watch Rocky and go, I think I could get in the boxing ring. That looks like a lot of fun. You know, and like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Right. So,
especially by him.
Yeah.
That's another guy. I would like to see him do some more acting, wouldn't you? Get him in the next Fast and Furious.
You know what? That would be awesome. I have enjoyed Mike Tyson and everything I've seen him in because he's Mike Tyson and he knows what he's doing. And let's face it, 90% of the time he's playing Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
They slap whatever character name they want on it. But
And he's open to poking fun at himself.
I actually saw him in a movie opposite Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Nice.
One of the new kickboxer movies or something. They were both.
Wait, they're still making those?
Sorta.
Okay.
Yeah, Kickboxer Retribution or something like that.
Oh wow.
It was Jean-Claude's long enough in the tooth that he was the Mr. Miyagi character, the aging mentor who was there to teach the hot young superstar the lesson. You know, that's how you know you're getting old, when they go, yeah, we don't see you so much as the ass-kicking tooth chipper anymore.
You're the teacher.
Yeah, we really want you for the Mr. Miyagi character. Yeah.
Well, friend of mine, have you ever seen the movie Better Off Dead? It was back in the 80s, John Cusack.
Yes.
And, he was in Supernatural. Anyway, I can't remember his name. Anyway, he also was in Revenge of the Nerds. Anyway, a friend of mine, he's got a film idea for a sequel to Better Off Dead. And what it is in the movie, John Cusack's character was into kickboxing. So in his remake or his sequel, John Cusack's character has grown up. He's still kickboxing. He's got a kid now. His kid is a 13-year-old, as professional as you can get as a 13-year-old kickboxer. And he trains him to take on the bad guys on the other end of town. I said, so what, Better Off Dead mixed with Karate Kid? He goes, yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know what? Here's my money.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too.
Take it all.
I will see that.
Yeah.
If
you can promise me that the good guy will win and the bad guy will get his ass kicked, take it all.
The Die Hard
movies, fine. Yeah. I love them all. I enjoy them all. I can't say that I love them all, but you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah.
John McClane's going to blow some stuff up.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is going to say a catchphrase, you know.
What about the new Indiana Jones movie that's supposed to be coming out?
Just
if they ever get it.
Yeah.
He keeps getting injured.
Yeah. They had to put a pin in. They are working around Harrison Ford's latest injury. He apparently dislocated his shoulder.
Yep.
Putting on his hat or something. I mean, it was...
Well, fedora, it's not a fedora. What is that hat he wears? Anyway, yeah.
The dude's like, what, 80? I mean.
Give him a break. Let him be the teacher.
And I really do hope that in this one he is, I'd be fine if he played the Sean Connery.
Oh, yeah.
Part. You know, Sean Connery played Indy's dad.
Does that mean Shia LaBeouf?
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Good.
No,
thank
we
you.
Don't talk about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. As far as I'm concerned, this is the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
Okay.
Because there was no Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Come on. There's a guy from Holes.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, but I, you know what? That's
now,
one thing.
Having
I think
said all of
that,
I'll watch it.
Right.
Are you kidding me to watch Harrison Ford strap on the hat and the jacket and the whip?
Yeah.
One more time? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Fine. Put him in a refrigerator and use it to survive a nuclear blast. Fine.
I think they made that Crystal Skull. They were going to, I think the intention was to make Shia LaBeouf take over from there, that character. But
he's Shia LaBeouf the hell out of it.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, maybe not.
So, yeah.
So I'm wondering what this next one's. But yeah, I'll watch it though.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm here for it. So, you know, I feel bad. I think Harrison just should be able to retire.
Yeah, they're working the man too hard.
Yeah. Well, God, I think that Sylvester Stallone is finally done with the Rocky franchise.
Okay.
But I think I heard that he's working on another Rambo sequel.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
I'll watch it. I think they're working on another Expendables. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's the thing. We'll watch them. We love them.
It bothers me a little bit, and it's something that I wrestle with periodically, that all of the heroes that I grew up idolizing, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Chuck Norris's of the world, they're all old men.
Yeah.
Some of them, Chuck Norris, has had really bad plastic surgery in recent years. They're like, ah. Now, having said all of that, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger could still kick my ass because right. Those are some jacked old dudes.
And these guys are like 70, 80 years old, right?
Yeah.
Remember your grandfather at 70 or 80?
I do. And I don't remember what we were talking about the other day, but you and I were talking about this. I have a very distinct idea. Samuel L. Jackson, I think, is what we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about
And him. I wondered how old Samuel L. Jackson was, and he's like 72.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, no. I remember my grandpa at 72. As this very thin, frail, old man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was just shortly before he passed away when he was 72.
Okay.
So in my head, for all of eternity, that's what 72 is.
Right.
That's what 72 looks like. 72 looks like a scruffy-faced, frail old man.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I see videos on YouTube, and whether he's faking some of it or not, Sylvester Stallone holding 45-pound
yeah.
plate and, like, just holding them as he stands up. Dude!
and Sam Jackson still dropping the F-bombs and still, yeah, I'm just being Sam Jackson. And all these guys, they're not 72. They're not. There's something wrong.
Yeah, well, they are.
Physics are different in Hollywood.
Yeah, physics are different in Hollywood. And I'm sure that has something to do with it. They have access to the best medicine, the best,
yeah.
you know, trainers out there. The best, and when I say medicine, there are some questionably legal narcotics that I am sure Sylvester Stallone, whether it's, steroids straight up, or if he's just on a heavy dose of testosterone, you're not a 70-year-old dude and still look like that without there being some supplementation.
Something's got to be going on.
You know.
There's some magic somewhere.
I'm not a 40-something-year-old dude that looks like that.
You know? Right? Right. I'm in my 50s, and I feel like I'm 80. And
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I make a noise standing up, getting up out of a chair.
The dad noises.
Yeah.
Have you seen those, I think they're Progressive commercials? No, it's maybe Geico. Anyway, where they're teaching them
not to be your dad.
Yeah, and I love that one. The guy sits down and goes, and he goes, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time. All right, well, we went from spoilers to being old. I think that makes for an adequate podcast.
Spoilers, we're getting old.
That's exactly right. We all are.
And that's the problem. There's that disconnect between what my body can do and what my brain thinks my body can do.
Exactly.
Because my brain still thinks I'm like 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brain goes, dude, you should. My body goes,
yeah.
No.
That's what all the creaking and popping is. It's like, that's the warning because
yeah.
it doesn't have a vocal cord.
Yeah. Well, I look at my wife with the mind of a 20-year-old. Hey, how you doing? I have the body of a 40-something-year-old.
He's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but boy, you do it.
Yeah, how you doing?
Anyway, well, that's going to bring an end to the podcast this time around. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, of course, WTYE Radio. You can catch them on WTYEFM.com if you want to stream them anywhere in the world. And also, especially, Eagle Theaters through Streeter, Clinton, Robinson, and was that it?
No, I think those are the three. Okay. They had a fourth one, but when COVID. We talked to Kelsa, she said the fourth theater didn't really survive the pandemic. Yeah. So, thankfully, I am beyond thrilled that our local theater, Eagle Theater here in Robinson, Robinson, Illinois, survived pandemic because I went a lot of years with having to drive 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Period, if I wanted to go see a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And so going to see a movie before Eagle Theater opened became an all-day thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you knew planned. You were going to leave early, you were going to grab lunch, go see a movie. I mean, you know, now 10 minutes. 10 minutes, I'm at the theater, I'm in my seat, I've got my popcorn. It's a great thing. Yeah. So thrilled to have Eagle Theater still here.
And you can make that decision like, well, I think I'll go see a movie. It starts in 10 minutes.
Yeah, in fact, that's when I went to see F9. Mm-hmm. I was sitting at home. My wife was at work. My son was in the living room or in his bedroom playing video games, getting ready to go to work. And I went, yeah, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to go see a movie.
Yeah, there you go. And Eagle Theater, you can catch them or you can find them online, eagletheater.net. Anytime you're in Illinois, you're pretty close to one.
Yeah.
Check them out. These guys are super friendly, super awesome. Plus, they help sponsor the keep us going on the podcast.
Right.
At least, if nothing else, give us material to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but thanks to those guys 100%. And if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, we wouldn't mind it. It would be kind of cool. If you got a company you want to get some ads on, we'll help you out. Also, if you want to help support the podcast, there's lots of ways. We got a donation button. Someone sent us a donation, said this is the amount I spent on comic books this month, so why not share it with you guys? And then another aspect is you can also order Nerd Up t-shirts. We've got t-shirts made. I'd like to get some new ones made, but right now we have what we have.
Right.
And we don't see much profit from those, I'll tell you, I guarantee you, by the way. And because they're through Cafe Press. But cafepress.com/nerduppodcast, you'll find us some cool stuff. And I think we make maybe a 50 cents on each shirt. So, but I just wanted to get the logo out is all it was.
Right. So. Well, just, share a link to the Nerd Up podcast with your friends and family. And
there you go.
If nothing else, tell them to listen and for how ridiculous we are.
Yeah.
You would not believe these two morons.
They started out talking about spoilers and they talked about how old they were. I don't understand.
We'll take listeners however we can get them.
And so share the link if nothing else. NerdUpPodcast.com. And again, anywhere you get your podcasting. But if you're hearing this, you already know. So.
Right.
But spread it out with your friends. So that's an end of another podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson.
I'm Tony Collins.
And like we say at the end of each and every episode, stay nerdy. Nerd.